Illinois. Oh, okay. We're here now. Lisa J, recovering codependent from Chicago, Illinois. And I am going to be doing the art of listening. It's going to be rather interactive, and I will need to have the ability to screen share. I was booted out, so if I could be made a co-host again, I would appreciate it.
You are co-host.
I am co-host. Okay, thank you. I was booted out and wasn't. Anyway, one of the things that we're going to be doing to start off in talking about the art of listening is we're going to do a little bit of brainstorming about listening. And so I am going to do a screen share. I'm going to hop over to a document. Can you all see? Yep, I have a document up here called The Art of Listening, has my name and date, and it says, what does listening mean to you? And what I'd like to do is just spend a little bit of time with all of you talking about what listening means to you. And I'm going to be writing down your answers or typing them in as you share them. I need to fix what I have going on here. So my question to all of you at this moment, what does listening mean to you? And are people allowed to unmute themselves? Yep. And you can just, I'll call on you. I think that might work. Susan H. from Florida.
Yes. Hello. And I'm originally from Chicago, Illinois. Go Second City. Listening to me is paying attention to what someone else is saying with all of your attention, not just thinking of other things also.
Sorry, my typing is not very good this morning. It is morning for me when another person is saying, being present. Okay, anyone else?
Lisa, you're not screen sharing.
What?
Yeah, I can see your screen.
I see a screen. A big one.
Who's not seeing? Call out your name. Oh, here, let's do this. I want to see a bunch of people. Give me just a moment. I'm trying to figure out who's not seeing because my understanding is that there are people who are seeing. If you're having trouble, if you're on a smaller device, you might have to swipe to one side to see the screen share. Okay. Anybody else? What does listening mean to you? Naomi.
I'm going to suggest holding space for another person. I don't know if that's the same thing as giving attention, but.
Tell me what that means to you when you say holding space for another person.
I guess for me personally, holding space for another person is allowing them to express themselves emotionally. And not trying to change them or fix them.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay.
Robert.
Okay, I heard, was that you, Robert?
Yeah.
Robert, go ahead and then I'll call on the people that are raising hands. What's your response?
Make a heart connection or have empathy with the information that's coming across.
Robert, I'm having trouble hearing you. Can you try again?
Empathy?
Gotcha.
You can't hear me now.
I hear you now.
Yeah.
Empathy. Gotcha. Thank you. Denali.
Suspending my own thoughts.
Ah, that's a tough one sometimes, eh?
Yes.
Diane W.
Putting aside my own feelings.
Thank you. Sarah.
A codependent. Something that's hard for me is listening without trying to fix what I'm hearing. and setting aside all my other thoughts. Prayer is helpful there.
You're going to see how imperfect I am. Prayer is helpful. Oh my gosh. All right. Thank you. Let's fix that, please. Okay. I've got, I'm hoping I don't pronounce it horribly, Lisha or Lisha.
Lisha. And, for me, it's putting down my phone and making eye contact with the speaker.
How many of you go to restaurants or out in public and you'll see a group of people and they're all like this, looking at their phone? Yeah, there's some healthy relationship going on there. Not putting down my phone and making eye contact with the speaker. Okay, Carol D. from Tennessee.
I have observing what they are saying with their words and their body language.
Excellent. Observing what they're saying with their words and body language. Thank you. I've got Melanie G.
Somebody put in the chat to me, but I think it was meant to be addressed to you, not trying to come up with a response, just trying to understand their perspective. And I was going to add maybe being present.
Okay, I heard, and I'm sorry I can't monitor the chat at the same time. If I could have help from one of our trusted servants, I would sure appreciate that. So what I got from that was not trying to come up with a response, just try to understand their perspective. Was that correct?
Yeah.
Megan Coddington? You're not muted.
Sorry.
That's okay. No worries. It happens. So just to confirm, I have not trying to come up with a response, just trying to understand their perspective. Is that accurate for what was in chat? I hope so. If it's not, we can fix it. I have Sandra.
Hi. Yes, Sandra, codependent. Letting them speak, you know, their mind, what they want to say about themselves without making it about me.
Excellent. Thank you. Ivana.
Hi. Okay. So for me, it's being focused on what's being shared and trying to stay in a space of curiosity and observation. And not slipping into judgment.
Oh, that's a lot. Stay curious. Or okay, so I heard the curiosity, and then can you say the last part again, Ivana?
So staying focused, curious, and aware.
Aware. Say. Awesome. Thank you. Okay, I've got AW.
It came to mind to me was just being a gentle witness. For the person.
A gentle witness for the person. Well said. Thank you. I got to fix my typo here. So I've got being a gentle witness for the person. I've got Catherine.
So one of my bad habits is not letting them finish, because if there's a pause, I try to like answer the question instead of just letting it sit.
Would it be okay if I put no interrupting?
Yes.
Got it. Thank you. Anyone else have any thoughts or ideas about what listening means to you? Okay, so let's come up with another question. How does listening support a healthy relationship? Any thoughts on that?
Robert, codependent. Validation.
Validation. You're heard. Through being heard. Thank you. Montana.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, good. Being seen, truly being seen, helps me to feel safe in a relationship.
Thank you very much. I think I have Sue K.
Hi. It's honoring and respecting different opinions and letting them be them.
And letting them be them. Thank you, Sue. Carol D.
I have understanding, giving them understanding so that I can get to know them.
Got it. Anyone else? Donna B?
Not taking things for granted.
Not taking, sorry, for granted. So tell me a little bit more how listening helps with that.
When someone hears your sincerity in saying something, that they know what you mean and mean what you say, and that people usually underestimate me. They always underestimate me, but I'm very clear on what I'm saying, and people take it for granted that I'm going to not do what I say or that I'm just going to continue on allowing something.
I see. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. Anyone else about how does listening support a healthy relationship? I think I have, it's really hard to see because I keep getting this pop up in front of the hands. Martha C?
Hi, makes me be connected with the real other being and not my own perceptions. If I really and truly believe in what is speaking, he, she speaking, and sharing, of course.
Excellent. Thank you, Martha. Ivana?
It creates more authenticity and safety in a relationship.
Thank you. Megan?
Hi, yes. I would say that it also, being able to listen to somebody is just like, you validate them and yourself and your experiences that you're going through. And you get to kind of like see them for who they are.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Megan. Okay. Denali?
It shows a willingness to connect.
Thank you. Anyone else about the question, how does listening support a healthy relationship?
Someone put in the chat that it fosters equality.
Oh, that just gave me chills. Thank you. And I appreciate somebody checking chat for me. I really do. It's a definite service for me right now, and I appreciate it very much. Okay. Susan.
Sorry. I experienced this yesterday. It avoids misunderstandings and preconceptions.
avoids misunderstandings and preconceptions. Thank you. Anyone else?
Yes, someone else just chatted that it creates space for individual growth.
Awesome. Anyone else?
Someone sent me a message saying creates vulnerability and authenticity.
I heard vulnerability and?
Authenticity.
Thank you. We have a lot of people desiring authenticity today. I love it because for me, my recovery from codependency has been a big part of that. Okay. Normally, I would do this for a bit longer. Oh, I am going to do it for a bit longer because I've got Diane W.
It promotes intimacy.
Oh, wait till you guys find out how important that's going to be when I get to the next section, because there's a few of these I'm just going, oh, this is just perfect. I'm thrilled. Thank you, Diane. I appreciate that input. I want to be able to have time for some of the other things that we do. One of the exercises that I would normally do, but I found that it hasn't been too successful in the Zoom platform. So I'm going to ask the question to have us kind of talk about it. Is, let me think if I can remember how I do this. What happens when, I'm going to say we, because we're together as a group. So when we try to listen and talk at the same time. Normally I would do an exercise where I would break you into groups of two and I would have you do this literally face to face, try to talk and listen at the same time. And so because it's a little bit difficult to do in Zoom, I'm just going to ask the question and kind of get your feedback verbally and put some notes in here. So I'm going to start with Megan, it looks like.
Well, what happens when we try to listen and talk at the same time? We don't allow a person to say what they have to say when they need to say it, and they don't feel seen and heard, which can close somebody off.
Okay, give me just a sec. I don't feel seen and heard, and it closes people off. Is that what I heard you say?
Yeah, it's like your yep. vulnerability to be like in the moment just ceases to exist because you're like, oh, well, they're not hearing me, they're not seeing me.
I
see something, they cut me off, so I can't get my point across. So it kind of almost like builds resentment, I guess you could say, over time if it happens quite often.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Thank you. I appreciate your feedback and the clarification. Okay, I am going to call on Susan.
Yes, this also happened yesterday. It's very rude, and just in physics, two things can't occupy the same space at the same time. So if you're talking, you are not listening. It's impossible, in other words, to talk and listen effectively simultaneously, in my opinion.
Got it. Appreciate it. Thank you. I've got Naomi.
I was actually going to say something very similar. If you're talking while someone else is talking, then basically, yeah, you're not listening to them at all. You're only interested in hearing your own opinions.
Thank you. Denali?
We miss things.
What kinds of things do you think we miss?
The important things. Or things that someone is trying to say, but may be afraid to say.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Sue K.
It doesn't allow any time for processing what's coming through, and it creates confusion on both ends.
Thank you. Diane.
Feelings get hurt.
Oh, thank you. Well said. Anyone else?
We have some responses in the chat. When we talk and listen at the same time, we don't do either of them well. And we, Megan writes, we lose opportunities to connect and chaos.
Okay, Mahima, what I need is for you to slow down and let me know one at a time, if you could.
Sure. Okay. So first one is, when we talk and listen at the same time, we don't do either of them well.
Okay, so that's one, correct?
We lose opportunities to connect.
Okay.
And chaos.
Chaos. That pretty much sums it up, doesn't it? All right. Okay. So I think we've done a really good job of looking at, I'm just going to scroll back through, what does listening mean to you? I'm not going to read through all of them, but I just kind of want to do just a gentle scroll through to kind of reacquaint some of the things that we came up with as a group.
Lisa, we're being asked, will this document be available after the chat?
I'm going to ask one of our trusted servants if that can happen.
You can upload it on Google Drive or something and share the link in chat later.
I will be happy to make this available, and that is always my intention whenever possible, is to make it available, because I'll tell you, I've done this workshop several times, and it's always different because different people are attending and different people are giving input. So I'm very happy to make sure that it's available, and I believe I have access to the Google Drive, so I can do that. I will be sure to do that. Okay. So again, just doing a gentle scroll. I'll leave it there for just a moment. We talked about, how does listening support a healthy relationship? Normally when I do this face-to-face, have y'all ever seen those really big post-it notes?
When engaging in this type of thinking.
Go ahead, Steph, I'm sorry. Okay. So when I do this face-to-face, I've got huge post-it notes all over the wall. They're like 2 feet by 3 feet. And they're just all over the wall, and we categorize them, and it's a lot of fun. Unfortunately, I haven't figured out how to do that in the virtual world yet. So I'm sorry that I can't make this more accessible during our time. So just a gentle scroll through. And this is a big one. What happens when we try to listen and talk at the same time? And how that impacts our ability to be in relationship with someone, to be present. Okay. So I am going to go ahead and share just a quick picture. The quieter you become, the more you can hear. Kind of just want to set the tone for what we're going to be doing and talking about. So I am going to stop screen sharing briefly as soon as I figure out where it went. There it goes, stop share. All right. And so now we'll get into some of the reasons that we did what we did and how I want to relate them to listening. So I want to tell you all a story. This is from my own personal life. It was, I think it was a Monday morning, and it was in 2016. It was in 2016. And I had stayed home from work that day, and I was sitting at my kitchen table at the time, and I got a phone call from my now ex-husband. And it wasn't his voice on the phone, though. It was a little boy. And he said, I forget what he said, but then he handed the phone to my husband, and my husband said he'd been hit by a car. He was on his motorcycle, and he was about two blocks away. And so I rushed over there, grabbed my son at the time, who was 9 years old, threw him in the back of the car, rushed over there. And my ex-husband is pinned up against a minivan on his motorcycle. He's got an open fracture to his leg. And there's a young man there, the person who did it, the perpetrator. And he goes on to tell me that this was an accident and he's so sorry. And he says things like, I know you're really angry at me. And I didn't have time for anger in that moment. It's like, just give me your information. The police show up. And within 10 minutes, they will no longer allow me to talk to this young man because I have now learned that it was done intentionally. And what happened was this young man was at home with his wife and baby. Somebody had fired a gunshot into his home and he heard a motorcycle take off. So he and his cousin jumped in their car to try to handle the situation on themselves. As they came around the corner, my ex was driving this way and they used the car to stop him. Yeah. What I want you to know is that, you know, at this time I am in recovery. I've been in recovery for a long time. And I look at him. He's short, shorter than me, much thinner than I am. And I'm like, I know I can take him. I want to beat the living hell out of him. And this rage builds inside of me. And I suddenly hear a voice in my head. Not external, internal. God's people don't do that. And I remember going, where the hell did that come from? I mean, I was floored. And I stood there and I started to have the thoughts again. And the voice said the same thing again. So I'm going to pause there. And the next section that I want to segue into is how to listen to our higher power, to God. And I know that we use a lot of different names for our higher power, as we are many different people from many different backgrounds, beliefs, ideas. And so for the sake of simplicity and sticking with CODA language, I will try to just use the word God, but I may interchange higher power in there. I hope that you will hear that in the spirit that it's given, that my intention is to stick with CODA language, be as inclusive as possible. If you have a different name, please use it. If you have an opportunity to share, please use whatever name that you use. And if you don't believe in a higher power, that's okay too. If you believe in a universal goodness or some other concept, please know that this is inclusive of that as well. And so there are three key points that I want to touch on about listening. One of them, we need to stop talking, right? We need to stop talking because in order to listen, I can't be flapping. I've got to close my mouth and listen. Another key point, learn to recognize our higher power, God, voice. And the next piece is build the relationship. So let's talk about the first one, to stop talking. Now, I've been in recovery for a while. I've had this amazing opportunity to talk with a lot of people from a lot of different places. I've been a sponsor. I get sponsored. So I'll talk about my role as a sponsor. Often I'll be talking with someone and they'll be talking about the challenges and the difficulties that they're experiencing in life. And the first thing they'll say is, I just need to pray more. I just need to pray more. And I will pause them and I'll say, you know, prayer is really good. Prayer is really important. But I'll tell you what I know for myself. When I was a newcomer and I was building this relationship with my higher power, I could talk. I was really, really good at telling my higher power and anybody who would listen. So that includes sponsor, fellow travelers on this road in CODA, what was going on. And in fact, I've even sponsored people where I will look at the clock and it will be 10 or 15 minutes that they've just gone on and on and on and on and on about the problem. And I will actually, I'll say, excuse me. Yeah, because that's what we're taught to do, to be polite. Instead of just saying, hey, or just start talking over them. And I'll say, do you realize that you've been talking for 15 minutes about this person, place, thing, or situation that's going on? And most of them will be quite shocked. And they'll go, oh, I didn't realize that. And I said, you know, and not only that, but sometimes there's three to five topics that have been covered. And sometimes they'll stop and say, okay, what do you think? And I'm like, I don't know where to start. And so I found that there is a time to talk. There is a time to say what's going on, but there's also a time to listen. And I have found that for me, learning to listen was equally as valuable as learning to speak up, because for me, codependency was a disease of silence. So before recovery, I was usually silent. And that doesn't mean I was listening. Please don't get me wrong. Just because I was silent doesn't mean I was listening. That meant my head was going, you know. But for me, it was equally as important. Another thing that I learned as it relates to a relationship with God and talking and listening, and I think we've talked about this in our Code of Blue book as well, prayer is talking to God. Meditation is listening. And so I spent a lot of time in prayer, but I didn't always spend a lot of time in meditation. That kind of came later, where I learned what that meant to listen to God. And I also believe that the idea of, you know, when I stop talking, I have a note here that it lets God work, but I think more importantly is I have the opportunity to see or experience God working in my life. And so when we talk about meditation is listening to God, if we can just do a quick popcorn kind of thing, you know, just raise your hand and I'll call on you really quick. Do any of you have a sense of how your higher power communicates with you? And if you raise a hand and just a quick little, I'm not going to type them in, we're just going to share them. I'm going to call on Melanie.
I think the biggest way that I found that my higher power communicates with me is through other people, just people that I might engage with. Whether I'm asking for help or not, there's usually been some person that's come that says something related to what I needed to hear at that time.
Thank you, Melanie. Susan?
It's my conscience. I feel like I know what I should do, but I want to do something else. But my higher power says, kiddo, this is what you need to do.
Gotcha. Carol D.?
Through nature.
Thank you. Shivni?
Yeah, hi. I think it's through through incidents of what doesn't sort of happen the way I, you know, like with what I want. So like incidents, situations.
Gotcha. Thank you, Shivni. Sarah?
And I would say coincidences.
Yeah. Thank you. Ivana?
For me, what I notice meditation, like if I'm struggling with something and I kind of see just two options, when I stop and meditate, suddenly new options show up that I couldn't see before. So kind of like there's more... Yeah, there's more options on the table suddenly.
Excellent. Thank you. And Melanie?
I read somewhere that the divine speaks in signs. So different synchronicities and coincidences and happenings like this. This is my first CODA event that I came across, which is another way to me that my higher power is continuing to show me, you know, a roadmap, and I'm just following it.
Okay. It looks like we have some things in chat. Someone said conscience. I think that's what mine is too. Signs and synchronicities. It can be a song, a book, a phrase. gut feeling, conscience, and intuition. Thank you all very much for your input. I find that in the spirit of inclusivity and, you know, our steps and traditions that tell us that it's really up to us to develop a concept of higher power, God, that works for us, that as many different people as there are the many different ways that we experience higher power's voice, if you will. And it may not always be a voice as I described to you. And that's why I believe it's important to hear what other people have to say, because people may be missing it. And if we don't pause as recovering people to stop and go, hey, how is my higher power communicating with me? And how do I connect with that? That's a really important piece that comes along with, in essence, building relationships. And so that takes me into learning to recognize that voice, whatever that voice is. And I say voice, but I want it to be inclusive of really learning to recognize how my higher power is speaking to me or communicating with me. Maybe that's a better term, communicating. So I want to tell you a story about the seven Lisas and the answering machine. So my name is Lisa. I'm a little more mature, you might have noticed. And I came from an era when the name Lisa was very popular. And so at one point in my life, I had seven friends named Lisa. And so before we had cell phones with voicemail that's super high def clear, we had, for my young friends, answering machines with really crappy tapes on them. This was even before they were digital, right? So I had a little tape in there and you just popped it in. And so one day I got a message and it was like, hey, Lisa, this is Lisa. Call me. Bye. But it didn't sound that clear. Like I just said, it was like, Lisa, this is Lisa. Call me back. I had no idea which Lisa it was. I'm like, what do I do? And so, learning to recognize how my higher power speaks to me. And I have to tell you that that takes time. So after a while with better machines and better quality, it was much easier to hear that voice and go, oh, that's Lisa T, or oh, that's Lisa V. You know, I was able to clarify that, but that took time, not just technology, but it also took time. So if I've only met you one time and you call up and you say, hey, it's me, I might not know, but after I get to know you, after we've had some conversation, I'll know. There's some people here that I've known for a while. If I hear their voice on the phone, I know immediately who it is. I don't have to look at caller ID because we didn't have caller ID either. Oh, it's so fun. Anyway, so recognizing that voice. And so we talked about what that voice or what that communication might look like. And so one of the things I've learned is once I recognize, oh, my higher power is communicating to me, maybe I prayed about a situation looking for an answer. And maybe I got it through one of those things that y'all have mentioned. Maybe I got it through a book or a phrase, or maybe I just happened to be talking with someone and that suddenly the answer came to me. The next thing I always recommend is write it down. Write down what you believe was communicated to you. So for me, I do something called God writing. I just named it that because I didn't know what else to call it. And so I will write to my higher power and I'll say, hey, I'm struggling. Things aren't good right now. And I'll pause and I'll listen and I'll write down what comes to me. And then there's kind of a conversation back and forth. The next thing I try to do once I write it down, check it out. Check it out with somebody else. Because here's the thing. If I say I'm struggling with the ex-husband and I get a message that says you need to go hurt him, that's a problem. That's probably not for my higher power, right? And that's probably something I'm going to want to talk about with my sponsor or other trusted friend in CODA or in program in general. Might even want to go see the therapist at that point if I'm getting messages like that. But the whole point being is if I'm uncertain, that's the key here. If I'm uncertain Oh, I'll read that. I just saw something come through on chat. I'll read that in just a minute. So if you're uncertain, check it out with somebody else. Also, remember that we have these amazing principles found in the steps, our traditions, and our service concepts. And so we can use these ideas or messages that we hear or potentially have heard from our higher power and look at the steps and go, does that match up? Does that match up with the steps? Does that match up with our traditions? And even then, if I'm not sure, I'm going to talk it over with somebody. And I find that it helps me, and it helped me, I should say, to begin to recognize my higher power's communication with me. Many of the things that all of you have talked about, I have experienced. So my very favorite one. So in the respect for our traditions, I will not name the name of the book because it's not code approved literature, but I was in school and I needed to come up with a project and I was struggling and struggling and struggling. So there's this famous series of books about a young boy who lives under the stairs and he becomes a wizard and he does all this great stuff. And in this book, he is given an idea from his professor on how to approach a situation. And it was basically the idea of focus on what your strengths are, build on your strengths, use something that you're really good at and bring that into the situation. I got this from a book that wasn't even, you know, CODA approved literature or even recovery literature or spiritual literature, but I got my answer. And so what I've learned is that it's important to be open for answers from our higher power from a variety of areas. Be open. And always remember to check it out with somebody if you're unsure. So I've got a couple things in chat here that I'd like to read. Someone wrote, I was looking for help and found this 24-hour codependency webinar. So that's how higher power answered my question/bid. My HP seems to talk to me in terms of timings, as in I seem to know exactly when to call someone or go somewhere, and it's absolutely perfect. Any of you experienced that? Also through books and people. This is my first time being introduced to codependency, didn't know what to start, so I'm thankful and grateful for finding this. Ooh, I'm sure there are people who can help you. You know who you are. If you're interested in getting more information, reach out to one of our trusted servants. And someone said numbers. Yay, someone said numbers. There are some people, higher power communicates through numbers. I thought, well, you know, that hasn't happened for me, but I'm thrilled that somebody recognizes that's what it is for them. And so as we go along this journey, I love that we have this opportunity to share this collective wisdom because we are going to be sponsoring people. Please, when you get there, please sponsor because we need you. And we need to be open as sponsors to how people say their higher power communicates with them because we want to encourage, we want to support. That's what I found. So let's talk about building that relationship. So I am going to screen share again because I'd like to go back to, whoops, Lisa, you have to hit share. Doesn't share if you don't hit the share button. So let's talk about some of the things that we looked at. Can y'all see the screen again with all the things that we did? Excellent. Thank you for nodding. Appreciate it. So think about building a relationship with your higher power because really we were talking about relationships with people, but now we're going to make the shift and let's apply some of these things to higher power. So if we come down here to how does listening support a healthy relationship? Validation through being heard. Being seen, truly being seen, helps me to feel safe in a relationship. Honoring and respecting different opinions and letting them be them. Understanding, giving them understanding so I can get to know them. It's really hard to get to know somebody if I'm just talking. I really need to listen. Well, it's no different with higher power. If I don't stop and listen to my higher power, I'm not going to get to know my higher power. I'm not going to get to know how my higher power operates. So think about this. In order to build a relationship, relationships need time. So think about you probably met some people here for the first time, or maybe you met somebody at a meeting for the first time. Do you know them instantly? Do you know their likes, their dislikes, what their history is? No, that takes time. It's no different with our higher power. A relationship with a higher power takes time. And some people say, well, I don't trust my higher power. Well, of course you don't. You don't know who your higher power is. You have no reason to trust. I tell people that I sponsor all the time. You have no reason to trust me. You don't know me. This is part of the process. We're getting to know each other. No different with higher power. It takes time to get to know our higher power. The beginning of that, spending time with that higher power. What does that look like? Some people do a very specific prayer meditation time. Some people will walk out in nature. That can be very spiritual. I happen to be one of those people as well. I'd kind of like to hear from some of you how you spend time with your higher power. If you would raise your hand in chat, or not in chat, but in Zoom, or pop it in chat, let me know how you spend time with your higher power. Let us know. It's not just me. Somebody must spend time with their higher power. Please. Ah, Marta.
Being nature and trees from for sure, and being silence.
Thank you. Thank you, Martha. Montana.
As you said earlier, Lisa, spending time with my higher power, I find I connect the most through writing in the morning and walking. Walking is a tremendous meditation for me, and I do it daily. And I find that if I don't do it, then my day is off because I haven't spent time with that significant relationship.
Thank you. And I appreciate the term you just used, significant relationship. Carol D.
I sit quietly and I focus on my breath.
Sit quietly and focus on breath. Thank you. Yasmin.
Hi. I do high fives with my higher power, and like in the morning, I just say, I love you, and I hear, speak for my higher power, and I say, I love you as well, darling. Thanks.
Thank you. Shivani?
At sunrise.
Tell me more about that at sunrise.
Just the fact that it's a new, like something so amazing is happening, like a new day. And it's, I find a lot of power with knowing it's like all over the world, like this new, you know, something new is happening for everyone. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Florence.
Hello. Can you hear me?
You know I can.
I'm at work. I like to do creative things. And a lot of it is spending time, drawing or coloring. And I'm also spending time with my inner child and connecting with my higher power because, he's my father. Like, I don't really have a relationship with my earthly father. So that's how I like reparent myself. And then, that and listening to music.
Thank you, Florence. Great to hear you. Sandy.
Hi, Sandy Codependent. What I do is I study the Bible. I study scripture, learn, pray, and meditate. And that way I am learning and building my relationship with God, my higher power. Thank you.
Thank you. And I would like to expand on that, if I may, that any spiritual literature can be a source of spending time with higher power. Sarah.
Yes, I'd like to read some of the chats.
Oh, thank you.
In the silence, in nature and sitting by trees, going on hikes and sitting on top of the mountain and enjoying the view, sitting there and thinking, I'm doing meditation in nature. I get really quiet and empty my mind. God talks to me there. Finding my present state and my breathing. Spend a lot of time crying with my higher power and sometimes gain insights while having a good cry. And let's see, meditating, keeping company, practicing the presence, thinking about God, talking to Him at various times during the day, not just in the morning and evening, relating my activities during the day as they are happening, watching all types of animals and through joy.
Excellent. Thank you, Sarah. I appreciate you doing that for me a lot. Robert.
I'm very encouraged by all the suggestions people have made. I suppose I struggle with it a little bit because I come from a conservative Christian background, and I was saying earlier on that I find coincidences or like numbers or certain things like that seem to me like a sign, but I kind of find in a way that I should go back to maybe something like the Bible or a prayer or something like that. So I'm a little bit torn, and I'm not sure if I'm torn in a good way or torn in a bad way, but I must say that the experience of people sharing here their own way of connecting does give me a sense of encouragement that maybe it doesn't have to be so complicated, but in a way I still struggle. I don't want to be too time in Jesus, if you know what I mean. So that's where I'm at with that. It's a bit of a struggle. Thank you.
Robert, I would like to thank you for sharing so openly and vulnerably. I think that you have inspired me and encouraged me to keep doing this, because that tells me that it's working. So I'm grateful that you've had an opportunity to hear the collective wisdom of our fellowship. So as
We have some chats. We have some more chats. Math is a form of mindfulness. Sea swimming and running, especially on the beach or near water.
Okay, thank you. We are going to move forward. Thank you very much for pointing out there were some chats there. So the next thing that we segue into is relationships need time. They also need attention, right? If I don't give attention to the relationship will not build. Oh, am I still sharing screen? I am. Darn it. Oh, well, that's okay. So if we look at some of these statements that we talked about earlier, I know we talked about eye contact. Well, I don't know about you, but my higher power is not coming down in front of me and I'm not making eye contact with higher power. So attention may look a little bit different. If I am observing nature and looking for spiritual lessons in nature, that's attention. Attention also, if you think about needing time, time implies that there's attention given, but attention also means being present. So that means not looking at the phone while I'm trying to pray or listen to what God would say. It can mean a lot of different things in terms of attention, but relationships need attention. Think of your earthly relationships. If we don't give them our attention, the relationships don't grow. They just don't grow and they don't deepen. And there was one that talked about a level of intimacy that I was super excited about seeing. And of course I probably won't be able to find it in the moment, but the idea that intimacy grows through time and attention, right? Intimacy doesn't happen instantly. Again, I'll speak from my own experience as a recovering codependent. When I came into recovery, I had this sense or idea that relationships were supposed to be instant. Like you knew instantly if this was the one, right? Well, that was a crock up. Did not work out so well. And so it was one of the great lessons of mine that relationships take time. Intimacy takes time. Getting to know somebody, trusting someone takes time. So in my sponsorship travels, being a sponsor, I have encountered quite a few women, and I don't know about the men, so I'm sorry, guys, but I've encountered quite a few women who go on dating apps. And they go on dating apps searching for a partner. And the message that I heard from them over and over and over again is they would meet someone. If there wasn't an instant spark or instant connection, cut. You didn't hear from that person again. And that was the reason why. And I thought, whoa, this is a little scary. But this, what I learned from it, is that it was a reminder. It was a reminder that relationships take time and they require attention. And intimacy happens over time. It's not an instant thing. So I will often say there's no microwave recovery. There's no microwave relationships. They are not instant. They take time. They just take time. And finally, relationships need consistency. So I may give you time. And I may give you attention, but if I only do that once a month or once every 6 months, what kind of relationship am I going to have with that person? And so think about higher power. If I pray occasionally, or if I pray like I used to when I was in deep shit and needed help, and I'm like, oh God, get me out of this one and I won't do it again. And if you prayed that prayer, I'm also a recovering alcoholic. So, and alcoholism is part of my codependency story. So I prayed that prayer a few times. That's not a relationship. That is not a relationship. And if I think about earthly relationships, if I have a partner, or even think about even closer, my family, I have children, I have a sister, I have aunties and all that. If I only talk with them once every 6 months or once every year, if it's a long-term relationship that I've had for a long time, that's really great. But I'll tell you what happens is that a lot of times we just spend time catching up and there's not time to really talk about what's happening in the moment if we don't have regular frequent contact. And so when I'm meeting somebody for the first time, we'll talk about sponsorship. When I think of sponsorship, I pretty much insist that we meet at least at once a week minimum. That's like the bare, I don't go longer than a week. Because I find that if I go longer than a week, then there's this reconnecting time that needs to take place before we can get to what's happening. That's been my experience personally. So I found that consistent time with somebody, higher power, God, helps build the relationship, helps build that idea of getting to know them, building the intimacy. If I only pray to God once every 6 months, it's going to be really hard to have a sense of who my higher power is, how my higher power communicates with me. Can I trust this higher power to show up when I'm struggling? These are all things that came to mind for me around all of this. I want to throw out a couple of warnings about all of this, and then I'm hoping to open it up for some share or question and answer. Sometimes there can be distortions, and we alluded to that a little bit earlier. Let me stop sharing screen. Stop share. Okay, back to me. I do see that we have some people being here. Okay, I'll read chat in just a minute. So distortions. If I get a thought, a message, or an idea that doesn't line up with the steps, the traditions, and what I've learned in CODA, I always check it out with somebody else. Always, 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 always. And that's the number one thing I can say to you. If you think you got a message from your higher power, talk to your sponsor. Talk to other people in program. Bounce it off of trusted people. I think it's important to acknowledge that when I was brand new, I didn't have a clue. I had a committee going on up here telling me all kinds of stuff. And it was a lot of internalized critical voices. So I think it's important to remember that. For those of us that tend towards avoidance, acknowledge that. Acknowledge that if you tend towards avoidance, get some help to start overcoming that avoidance. And that can lead into obstacles. There can be obstacles to building this relationship. Someone alluded to earlier growing up in a very strong religious faith, and sometimes that can bring up a lot of difficulties and challenges to developing not only a concept of a higher power that works for you, but also developing that relationship. And I think that I can tell you a quick story. I sponsored somebody who was raised with a specific faith, and it basically, what we identified in talking with each other was that it was almost an indoctrination. So like for her to believe in anything outside of that faith or to practice anything that actually worked for her, the guilt and the shame that came up for her was almost more than she could handle. And I remember just this look of terror on her face that I can't do that because then I'm going to go to hell or I'm going to go wherever, right? And so I will admit that it took us 6 or more years to process through that and get to a place where she could even begin to entertain the idea that there might be a power greater than her that could work for her. So I think it's okay to be aware of those obstacles. Not everybody's experience is the same when it comes to that sort of thing, but I would encourage us to be open and to be supportive and to be loving when we encounter somebody who has that. And just stand by, walk with them, help them to find their way. I've found that it's been important for me to find my own personal obstacles to building a relationship with a higher power. I had to face my own fear. I had to face my own anger. I had to de-roll my higher power. And what I mean by that is I put the characteristics of my parents on my higher power. So I needed to de-roll that, get that off of there. I actually do an exercise with people where people that I sponsor where I have them make a list of who they believe their higher power to be today, and on the same page make a list of their dream higher power. Who's the dream higher power? If you could have any higher power, like the perfect higher power, what would it be? We rip that list in half, write a letter to the old one, fire them. You give that to me. You keep the other list. You can write a letter to hire them and start working on that relationship with that higher power. It's part of our steps. It's part of the whole process of developing a concept of higher power that works for the individual. You don't have to believe what I believe. Find something that works for you. And I wanted to share one last thing. I have permission. Oh, wow. That was brilliant how I just did that. Give me just a sec. I just did a real bonehead move there. Okay. Let me go here. And then I'm going to share. And I'm going to share. Uh-oh, did it come up? It did not come up. I'm so sorry. I am having technical difficulties. The same letters in the word listen are in the word silent in English. This is a picture of my husband and I. He gave me permission to use this picture. Can you guys see it? Give me a nod. Thank you. And I found this to be very profound. That listening requires silence. And the silence may not be perfect. It may not be perfect. I know for me, I battle thoughts. I think I've mentioned to you guys, you know, it just goes. But I found that listening equals silent. If I can get silent and really participate in the relationship with my higher power, I will hear the communication, whether it's a voice or whether it's a message communication. And so with that, I need to try to stop sharing, stop share. Acquiring proficiency with new skills takes practice. So please know that this takes time. It's not instant for many of us. Hang in there and keep practicing. Just hang in there and keep practicing. It's worth the effort. With that, I will read a couple of wonderful being here, had to sign off. Relationships immediate and self-sustaining. Not. Thank you for sharing that. And with that, I am going to stop talking and open it up to you if you have questions or you want to do a quick share. I think we have about 14 minutes. Is that right from one of our trusted servants?
We could use 10 minutes to close.
You could use, okay, so we have about 10 minutes, maybe? Does that work?
12.
I got 12 minutes. You have 12 minutes, my friends, to share if you would like. If you can raise your hand as Martha is, that would be wonderful. And Martha, I will call on you first.
Okay, thanks. I just want to share, because of this last photo of listen and silence and people being together, not only in nature, right? And the other day I was having my first codependence meeting with about 7 or 8 people, and more the last 20 minutes or 15, there was a lot of times between the sharings that we were in silence. And I was just so happy, you know, so deeply happy, because we were listening, but we were in silence, and more than that, we were connected. So it was really, really profound and deep. That's what I wanted to share. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Martha. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Anybody have questions, comments, reflections on what we discussed today? Emma?
Hey everyone, Emma, codependent. Yeah, actually quite a lot, just that last bit. Distortions of higher power. I realized quite recently that I thought I had a higher power. I thought I had got God, who I understood God to be, but it was a very punishing God and a very authoritative God. And so I've sort of stripped all away and straight back. So I'm really interested that I came across this today and came on the meeting just now talking about higher power, because I was thinking lately, oh, I failed or something, or I've gone backwards. But actually, I've probably gone forwards, because I'm learning and developing a higher power for me, really, really for me, that makes sense to me in the moment. That's the group, the fellowship and nature, and maybe not spending time searching for this voice in silence and meditation. So it's really, really interesting. And then also what you said having time to develop a relationship. It doesn't just happen instantly at all. It's a relationship. It's not a thing to grasp and to pray in dire straits. So thank you. It's been brilliant to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Emma. I appreciate you being here. I've got someone in chat, and then I'm going to call on Sarah. I hope this is appropriate to share. My HP says that silence is the highest form of grace. I really like to listen equals silent. HP confirming what's true for me. So grateful. Thank you guys for this event. Sarah.
Sarah, codependent, I have on my reminders every morning, it says pray for focus, because I am the one in a restaurant or sitting with a friend who is distracted by my phone, and I pride myself on getting back to people really quickly, but I'm also trying to be present. So listening in silence in my mind is very important. And it's a process. I'm not perfect by any means, but I accept where I am and would like to grow and be more present and listen better. Thanks.
Thank you, Sarah. Shivani, hold on just a second. So have y'all heard about where we take our phones and we stack them up in the middle of the table at the restaurant, and the first one who reaches for the phone has to pay for the meal? I have heard about this. And I know there are some other restaurants where if everybody keeps their phone in there, they get like a free treat or dessert or something. But I love the idea of just put the damn phone down. You know, let's participate in our relationships with our families, our friends, Oh, it's amazing. And maybe it's just because I'm a little more mature, but anything can be used to distract. So it's not just the phones, people. I know that before we had cell phones, we had other things that we were distracting ourselves with. So, but I love that. Anyway, Shivani, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I'm Shivani and I'm a codependent. And yes, the moment I came on to this meeting, I mean, the workshop, it was all the things that I needed to hear. And about higher power relationships, taking time, being knowing that it just the intimacy, it's hard to know somebody overnight. And I grew up with so many family members or siblings that there was always such a rush to be first, to be either say or not or just agree. And it's just incredible to be in CODA, to know that what about me? And to take the time. And my higher power, I grew up with all of that. And I had some distance. And then the distance just got further away. And CODA is helping me become closer, which is a real, it's a beautiful thing to happen. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Shivani. I feel very grateful that you're here. I've got a message in chat. It says, I'm new to this and just starting to understand. I realize that many times I can hear my higher power, but I will start fighting against what I hear. The codependent patterns drowning it out. This creates a cognitive dissonance that I have to work through to embrace my higher power and ultimately make the healthy choice. What I have found in my life as well is that higher power's communication is usually calm, a bit on the quiet side, so it's not the loudest voice. And there's a person that I've heard speak before, and he talks about, when he has a sense that higher power is communicating or he's looking for an answer from higher power, he talks about chaotic urgency versus calm certainty. So if there's a sense of chaos or urgency to it, like a, probably not higher power, calm certainty. I would equate that with the word peace. Could be higher power talking. We've got about 4 more minutes. I'm going to call on Catherine.
Hi. So I have 2 questions. I really like this workshop. Would you have another one later on? Because I'm picking up stuff that I really like, but you know how you have to like review it later on. I'm still digesting. So I was just wondering if you have another workshop on this subject. And then also, this is, are you able to sponsor, or is that, you know, no, what have you?
So, Catherine, thank you for your questions. I believe this workshop will be recorded and available on several websites. So if you check back with our trusted servants here, I'm sure they've provided links for that, and that will be a way for you to revisit it and to listen to it again, take further notes. As far as sponsorship, I'm pretty full up right now. I just need to be honest. I don't have any more time to give. If you are looking for a sponsor and having trouble finding one at your local meetings, I believe you can write to CODA.org through info@CODA.org. And they have a list of people who are willing to sponsor. I know that I have been hooked up with several people that way. So that's what I would encourage you to do at this time. Okay. I actually have time for one more person to share if they want before we close it up. I've got Melanie and then Carol. You'll be our 2 last ones. Go ahead, Melanie.
Mine's going to be really quick. There's been some people asking about the document that you created. I know you like addressed it briefly earlier, but if we could just find out how you plan on sharing your script, and I'll be able to get it out to the people that requested it.
Okay, I'm going to share it wherever my trusted servants here tell me I'm going to share it. I'm going to make sure that it's available to them, and they'll put it wherever they tell me to put it. So I'm sorry, I don't know the exact answer. Does somebody else of our trusted servants know?
They just put it in the chat.
Oh, Okay. I can make an effort to do that. If y'all give me
It's already in the chat of the three areas you can go to order the recordings and the other information.
Okay, so that's where it will be. I think it'll be in Google Documents if I understood correctly. There was a Google Documents folder that everybody had access to. Is that correct, Sarah?
Not really. I was hoping somebody with more tech experience could, if you could email it to somebody. Is anybody trusted servants able to do that?
I'll put my email in the chat.
Okay, Lisa, if you could email Melanie.
Sure.
And she will Google Doc it and put it in the chat.
Will do.
I guess you need her email.
Yep, I think she said she's putting it in chat, so I'll get that. So I'm going to, I'm making a PDF of the file right now. Okay, I will work on that and it will be available in whatever way I am told to make it available. I'm just going to put June 2022. Okay, I will make that happen. Okay, so thank you, Melanie, and I have Carol.
I have to share my biggest weakness is I usually try and listen and not be present because I'm always trying to do something else. And so I need to work on that, and thank you for listening.
Thank you, Carol. Okay, it is time for me to turn this over to the trusted servants. I'd like to say thank you for allowing me to be of service, and I'm out. Thanks.
Thank you, Lisa. And now we are moving on to the closing of our session. Would someone please read the promises of Food Dependence Anonymous?
I can do that. The 12 promises of Codependence Anonymous. I can expect a miraculous change in my life by working the program of Codependence Anonymous as I make an honest effort to work the 12 steps and follow the 12 traditions. 1. I know a new sense of belonging. The feelings of emptiness and loneliness will disappear. 2. I'm no longer controlled by my fears. I overcome my fears and act with courage, integrity, and dignity. 3. I know a new freedom. 4. I release myself from worry, guilt, and regret about my past and present. I'm aware enough not to repeat it. 5. I know a new love and acceptance of myself and others. I feel genuinely lovable, loving, and loved. 6. I learn to see myself as equal to others. My new and renewed relationships are all with equal partners. 7. I'm capable of developing and maintaining healthy and loving relationships. The need to control and manipulate others will disappear as I learn to trust those who are trustworthy. 8. I learn that it is possible to mend, to become more loving, intimate, and supportive. I have the choice of communicating with my family in a way which is safe for me and respectful of them. 9. I acknowledge that I'm a unique and precious creation. 10. I no longer need to rely solely on others to provide my sense of worth. 11. I trust the guidance I receive from my higher power and come to believe in my own capabilities. 12. I gradually experience serenity, strength, and spiritual growth in my daily life. Thank you.